Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Taught me everything I know. The podcast where we talk to you about musicals and all the lessons that they teach us. I'm your host, Saintsy Weber, here with my trusty co-hosts,
Julie Eisentrager
and
Miranda Selwood.
KB can't make it today, but we forgive her because she's doing theatre.
Lucky
in,
her.
In a time where not much theatre is happening.
True. True story.
And as a guest today, we have a returning guest. How many times is it now, Stacey Hobbs?
For this podcast?
Yeah.
I think this is only my second.
Yeah, I think it's not as many as we think, but like...
Because you did Shrek. You haven't done anything else?
I haven't
else?
Done another one, no.
Interesting.
I've been here whilst other podcasts...
Doing other podcasts.
You know, and I've kind of like been like a listener, a lurker, some might say.
Stacey Hobbs, our favourite lurker on the show, is finally here to do a second episode.
I am. And I'm doing another one of my favourite musicals.
Legally Blonde.
Yes.
So before we get into Legally Blonde, though, because it is only your second time, we'll get you to do the Getting to Know You guest quiz again.
No, I forgot that was a thing and I'm not prepared.
No,
I'm prepared. Getting to know you.
Which musical character would other people compare you to, Stacey Hobbs?
I can't remember what I said last time. So,
well, things have changed. You have a bouncing baby boy now.
I do, who's sitting on my lap and will probably attack my microphone at some point during this.
Well, that's what they're for.
That's what they're for. Oh, hello, and I drew his attention to it. That was a mistake. Musical theatre character that I compare to. I usually get Disney princessy comparisons, I guess, because of the Disney stuff. So I'd probably say... Belle, probably. Maybe a Glinda, just for the stupidity. General silliness.
Belle, a typically silly Disney princess.
Yes, she is. I go between, but this is the thing with me. I'm either just like completely frivolous or like deadly serious.
I see.
It's kind of like or the other.
Maybe you're Fiona.
Maybe.
From Shrek.
This is true.
And you nighttime, daytime.
Maybe.
Nighttime, daytime. Because famously, Fiona is horrible when she's in ogre form.
No, but I think she's definitely a lot more serious when she's in ogre form.
She is, I guess. Mm. No one really wants to be an ogre. I guess that's the whole point of that. Of that musical.
All right, so we can escape this uncomfortable situation we found ourselves in. Which musical character would you like other people to compare you to?
I actually really enjoy Elle Woods from Legally Blonde.
I don't understand why.
I don't know either. And Eliza, they're usually my two that come to mind favourites. I think Eliza actually might even top it because she wanted to better herself and better her situation just for her, like not because of anyone else. She just wanted to make her life better and be a better person. And I think that's pretty cool, like to get yourself out of your circumstances and make your life a better one. I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, well, what's your dream role? Currently,
There's roles I would like to do again, and then there's new roles. I think new roles I would like to do Garlinda from Wicked.
Garlinda.
There was something I was thinking about today, actually, and I couldn't remember. In a few years' time, what's her name next to Normal? Why can't I think of it?
Yeah.
Because I'm a mum and I can't think of anything.
I went Joanne, but it's not Joanne.
No, it's not. No. The mum. Anyway,
someone's Kathy.
Someone's not. Yelling that at there. Yeah. So you're right, person.
I can't believe none of you can think of it. Diana.
Diana.
Miranda says
definitely looked
that would
it
be
up.
A really that would be really fun. I like a meaty role. That would be.
And has your favorite Sondheim show changed?
I can't remember what I said last time.
Well, let's hope we'll that you say the same time.
See. I think Company is always.
I'm pretty sure that's what
I'm
you
pretty
said
sure
last
that's
time.
What I said too. It's such a show that it changes as well as you get older.
Yeah.
And for someone who's been married a very long time and now has a child, like I see that show a different way again now. So it's definitely one that evolves with you.
Yeah.
I think.
What's your go-to shower song at the moment?
Oh, shower song. When I'm not singing really stupid songs to Hugo.
Or define a stupid song, like one that you're just like making up.
I make
weird,
up a lot of songs. Okay. Yep. Generally at nappy changes.
I was like, if you say in the ding dang nong, I'm like, that is not a stupid song.
That's a banger.
That's a banger.
Also, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, Once I Caught a Fish Alive.
Oh.
That song is going places. Oh. I don't know why. But
especially good. In the shower.
All these jeez. Nursery rhymes I've forgotten. But what I do like singing in the shower is They Just Keep Moving the Line from Smash.
That's nice. Yeah.
That's a very therapeutic song, and I quite enjoy singing it loudly in the shower.
All right, final question.
Yes.
Got to delete a musical from existence.
Oh, I forgot about this, and I could have relished it. I think last time I deleted...
Can.
Did I delete Rent last time? No.
All the time.
No, it was that show. Fame, I deleted last time.
Ah, yes, I remember it well.
It's rubbish. I always want to say Cats, but I have a newfound appreciation for Cats since the movie.
Why?
Which is terrible because it's so... Just,
so bad it's good?
It's so bad. I've watched it several times.
How?
I know.
How have you watched
because
it several times?
Because it's just... I can't believe it's a thing that actually exists in the world.
So I have to keep watching
it. So I have to
just to check.
Just to be like, but how did this happen?
That it hasn't been Mandela still affected away.
And there's
away.
Still so many layers of just awfulness that I just pick up new things every time. It's amazing.
Oh, maybe I should watch it again.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's...
Maybe we should just, have a rewatch.
Yeah. Very
Boxing
much
Day anyway?
Yeah,
I enjoy it. But if I was going to delete something else... Yeah, no, it probably would be Rent.
Okay.
Yeah, let's lock in Rent.
Yeah!
Rent's also getting up there. I will say we're at about 170 episodes now. So there has been
a few
votes for Rent.
Yeah.
Because it sucks. Yeah.
And I think, look, because if we've got Cats and Phantom on there, Rent's probably going to be
no,
the next
Cats
one.
No, Cats is the only thing that's on the...
Oh, no. Oh, can I rescind? Can I say Grease instead?
No.
Oh.
Yeah, why not? You have to save that for next time.
Okay.
We see.
All right. Well, that is the end of the Getting to Know You quiz, but that is not the end of the segment before we get into Legally Blonde, because we have some listener mail.
Oh, yeah. Oh, we were warned about this. I'd already forgotten. I was going to say, we used to do news.
Mm.
News flash.
Well, this
time.
Is news about how
but,
crap we are.
But then,
oh,
we,
no.
Then we started recording episodes too far in advance to do
nothing
news.
Nothing was news by the time, yeah.
And then now this year has been COVID, so there hasn't been news. But mean, we have a message from a lovely listener who apologizes for getting angry at us, but gets angry at us anyway.
I'm sorry.
I won't say their name.
I didn't want to make anyone angry.
So they have gone back. So they're basically listening back through all of our episodes.
Oh, no.
There's some long ones in there. I'm surprised they're still
And their
listening.
Letter goes as such. Hi, podcast host of MTMEIK. Thank you for getting the initials right.
Hello.
I don't often email strangers, especially not podcasters, but I've been upset about an episode I recently listened to for a few weeks now.
Weeks?
And so I am reaching out in the hopes of setting the record straight.
Okay.
The episode was recorded last October. So this is October 2019. But I've been binging your podcast, so I know I'm late to the game. I was thrilled to see you had selected Victor Victoria as your musical for that week, as I'm a huge Julie Andrews fan.
So are we!
And from comments I've heard you make from some of your other recordings, I'd gotten the impression that at least some of you also appreciated her beautiful singing voice.
Which one specifically? Because I do. I know Stacey does.
Oh, I think we are all Julie Andrews stans here.
Who wouldn't be a Julie Andrews fan?
I don't know. She is an overall delightful person.
Correct.
In every aspect.
And I'd like that on the record. Now
going on the record. But before we get yelled at. Upset me was this.
I'm sorry.
You started discussing her vocal range, briefly wondered aloud what it was, did a cursory Google and announced only 2 octaves. That was me. I said that. I did the. I remember doing the Google search and being like, wait, only 2 octaves? That's ridiculous. Yeah. I appreciate that if you Google what is Julie Andrews' vocal range, that's the first result. I've checked and I see where you what you must have seen. But that first result is wildly inaccurate.
Wildly.
Before the operation she underwent in 1997, Julie Andrews was famous for being able to sing over 4 octaves, which is what we thought at the time before Google told us we were wrong.
But we weren't.
We weren't.
Google was.
Yes. This is mentioned in her books, in her biographies written, and in biographies written about her. It's clear from recordings and performances and discussed in numerous interviews. It's also all over Google if you just look past the first Google result.
Oh, no.
But instead, you guys began saying, oh, well, we have better range than her. I don't think we ever declaratively said that, but if we did, I apologize, and it felt like someone proudly saying they can run faster than the dude who was a famous Olympian athlete, but is now over 90 years old and has lost some of his speed. Well, look, I would be proud if I could run faster than a 90-year-old Olympian.
Me too, actually.
Like, 90-year-old Olympians are probably pretty fast.
Quick question.
Yes.
Can I run faster than a 90-year-old Olympian? Can we look that up on Google? Oh, look, the first result says I can.
Firstly, do you know how fast you can run?
No.
No, because that's I don't know how fast. We can't compare.
I don't know. I did the Bridge to Brisbane 1 year, and I did that in an hour and something.
Running.
And I think it was only like 4 or 5 kilometres. So maybe I can't. But I'd like to try, and I think trying is what's important, and that's the message that we can all learn from this.
Yeah, absolutely.
And don't lazy Google.
Try to find the answer. He just epically failed at it.
Yeah, and we were surprised by the answer being so low, because I'd always looked at something to aspire.
Is the issue that her range is now that small?
It doesn't go on to say whether or not it is, and I would hesitate to say anything on the subject having just received this email.
I'll just Google it.
Feels like it's been
just go to the first
But they do go on to say, please listen to the radio recording from when she was 12. Julie sings Polonaise from Mignon and reaches at least an F6. Listen to Le Jazz Hot or the octave jumps at the end of Do Re Mi.
That's the whole thing. Le Jazz Hot is... She's famous for doing the whole scale and for doing it in one go.
Yeah.
I saw a performance recently of a wonderful performer who I really enjoyed the whole concert, and I won't say her name, but she did do... a very similar thing where she scooped through the whole scale of a couple of octaves.
Yeah.
In 3 breaths.
Ooh.
And I just
thought, that's a lot of breaths.
Gee, you know.
Julie
did
it
in one.
Yeah.
And she's only got a range of 2 octaves, apparently. But don't quote me on that, because
we'll just finish it out. So they go. They say a little bit more, and they end with Julie deserves better than this.
She does.
I know. It might come off like a crazy rant. I've never met Julie Andrews, and I don't know why I care so much about setting the record straight, except that I think that she's an amazing woman. And when she lost her voice, it was a personal and traumatic tragedy for her, and it's so sad loss and a loss for the whole world. I was 11 when I first heard on the news about the operation accidentally taking her voice away, and I still remember where I was and the shock of loss I felt. So I say it was only a 2-octave range is just not justice, and that's all I want to say. Justice for Julie, like Votes for Women and Mary Poppins, I would shout across London if I could. As would we all. We all agree with you. Now, I'm not going to say your name on the internet, but
hashtag
thank you.
Justice for Julie.
Hashtag justice for Julie. Yeah, no, thank you for correcting us. And honestly, like, this is This is what we love. We love talking to fans.
We love being corrected.
Who know more than we do. We like learning lessons.
That's true. That's true. We do love learning lessons. And thank you for writing.
So now I guess we'll take a quick break and we'll come back and we'll start talking Legally Blonde. Baby Hugo is a huge fan of Legally Blonde.
I thought he was just agreeing. You know, he was like, that was his way of saying justice for Julie.
Justice for Julie.
Justice for Julie.
All right. So, Stacey, you wanted to talk about Legally Blonde.
Legally Blonde.
We all want to talk about Legally Blonde. I think this is the episode I've been looking forward to most all year.
Oh, okay. Wow.
It's just been sitting on the schedule for quite some time, and I've just been rubbing my little hands together going, yeah.
Well, I'm sorry to make you wait, but I remember when I booked it, I was like, I'm going to have a baby. I think I need to wait till the baby's like a bit bigger, maybe. So I'm like,
so
can
the
I
baby
deal?
Can comment. He can give us exactly. the appropriate opinions. That's fair enough. But have you seen it, Hugo?
It's such a fun show. And after, you know, a year like this year, we need fun shows.
Fun.
Well, it's fun without sacrificing like a very strong message.
Yeah,
you know how like some shows are just meaningless fluff, happy story for the sake of happy story. Legally Blonde is happy fluff story that has a lot of meaning and pathos and payoff. Yeah.
Well, the movie itself was very feminist in a time that those kind of fluff movies were really not. So it was kind of looking back, I'm like, in the movies of that era, you're like, oh, it actually did it like a really good job of being a really feminist message.
Yeah.
But being so popular at the same time, not just being like, oh, that's another like whatever, like fluff piece. But of course, and I don't know if this is early on in the movie to Broadway adaptions. I don't know if there was like, because it was 2007 that this hit Broadway.
I think it was one of the first successful
ones. Like huge successes.
So this is the thing that I really love about the my whole thing about adapting a movie into a musical is there's no point in doing it unless you can further the story.
Exactly.
You need to be able to tell the story better or in a different way in the musical. And this is a success story in that process for me. Probably closely followed by Shrek, I think.
Yeah,
I think
absolutely.
I like the musical Shrek more than the movie Shrek.
Yes, and I feel that way about Legally Blonde. I prefer the musical to the movie. Yeah. And I still love the movie. So do with that information what you will.
I am of the same opinion. Because it definitely fleshes out a lot of the characters and a lot of the relationships a lot better than...
And I think the other thing that both of those adaptations do is they lean into the comedy and the emotional impact they leave to the music. And they both have really good books that blend into the score. And they've taken a theatrical form of the film and they haven't tried to dump it in.
There was
a bit of that going on when adaptations were happening about in this sort of early 2000s sort of to mid. Like Dirty Dancing was one of the worst possible examples. It was like they had taken the Dirty Dancing script, added songs into it in random places and then put it on the stage. So it had 10,000 scene changes. And Legally Blonde has possibly two scene changes that don't happen within a song. So the show actually uses the music to move forward. And that's like massive tick for me.
Yeah. It's written as a musical.
Yes.
But it's the story inspired by a movie rather than how can we
transfer this
to the stage.
Yeah.
Which is, and it's very cleverly written, which I think if you see it, you go, oh yeah, that's fun. But when you actually look into the music and look into how it's written, you go, oh, there's actually a lot more to this than just
Well, that's the thing, because so it's written by Lawrence O'Keefe, Neil Benjamin, and book by Heather Hack. Lawrence O'Keefe did Bat Boy before this. But then did Heather's
very
after
different
this.
Yes, very different to Bat Boy,
very different.
Just put that out there.
Very different
style,
very
is.
Different story. The music isn't too different.
Well,
there are parts from Bat Boy that are very heavily referenced in Legally Blonde.
Yes, but it's like musical stings,
yes,
right? They're a little Andrew Lloyd Webber in that that using that technique.
Oh, but he's not doing it from other people. It's his
stealing
own work.
From himself. Yeah, yeah. But Andrew does that too.
Because Comfort and Joy is almost exactly Legally Blonde, just with kind of different inflections
together. It's amazing. I think that the difference was stylistically. So it might have been the same grab of melody, but the style of how it was all put together was completely different. And I do love the blend of the modern pop with very classical musical theatre form that happens in Legally Blonde. And that's similar in Bat Boy and in Heathers.
Yes.
And that's sort of that blend of modern musical theatre works so much better for me than the Rents of the world.
It's definitely, honestly, that's probably why Lawrence O'Keefe is one of my favourite composers, because his work is so based in the text rather than like his own personal style, like say, I'm forgetting now, but like Jekyll and Hyde and Frankenstein, Dracula. Who is
Wildhorn?
Wildhorn.
There we go.
Like Wildhorn is Wildhorn, regardless of what text he's doing.
Yeah. Lauren, it doesn't matter what period it's set in or anything. It's going to sound the same.
And the formula of the songs is going to fit together in the same way.
Yeah. But I think his work is very adaptable. So who wrote the book on this? Is that the same
Heather.
As...
Heather Hack or Hack.
Hack?
H-A-C-H.
See, I don't know her name and I
well,
feel
she
like I should.
Wrote... I'm not going to be able to find it. But she wrote another movie of that era as well that I went, oh, okay.
Oh, well, she wrote the Freaky Friday remake.
Freaky Friday remake. Yeah. That's what it was. Yeah. So she, I suppose, is living in that, working in that movie space, which kind of lends well to adapting.
Well, she also appeared as one of the judges in the MTV television series Legally Blonde the Musical, The Search for Elle Woods.
Oh, yes.
Oh! That was... I have recently watched it on YouTube. It is.
Where it's readily available legally, I'm sure.
There was a lot of things that this show did that was quite different at the time. And that was one of the things, was this search for Elle Woods that they did with MTV. But then they also filmed the show for MTV, which is how I got introduced to it, as I watched a very legal copy of the MTV broadcast show.
Yeah.
Which is fantastic.
Which was,
and really well filmed. It's the stage show filmed. We haven't tried to turn it into a movie. It's not like the Grease Live and series.
Yeah.
And I just think from this place, MTV went into those live shows. But I actually just prefer this because it's more like the theatre experience for
and
me.
And I remember the argument being that, oh, well, if we do this and if we film the stage versions, no one will go and see the show. But, of course, I saw it and went, I want to see it. So when it came to Australia, I was like, I want to go and see that because I've seen it already and I want to see and experience it live. And I know this is a more successful adaptation, but on Broadway, it actually didn't do as well when it was... It did better in West End than it did on Broadway. But I wonder if that
was a timing issue.
Yeah, it might have been.
Is it? We haven't done the plot, by the way.
We haven't. I was just about to prompt Stacey to give two-minute synopsis.
Okay, All right, so we open in UCLA. We meet Elle and we meet her posse. And we are very much introduced to this world of fashion and Elle wanting to get her boyfriend Warner to propose to her. Of course, she gets all dressed up and she goes to see Warner, who tells her that he actually wants to break up with her, not because he doesn't like her, but because his family and he had aspirations for himself and she doesn't fit into that because she's
blonde.
She's blonde. She's not serious enough. So Elle is devastated by that. And instead of just wallowing in self-pity for forever, she decides that she's going to follow him across the country to Harvard Law School and then just literally just does that.
Best stalker story ever, if I'm honest.
It's a lot of commitment.
So much commitment.
To like study, to pass this exam that she had no intention of studying or passing previous to that. So she had no base knowledge. Studies, gets there. Meets him, but of course Warner has now met someone new. So, shock horror. So, anyway, she does a lot of work. She meets this guy, Emmett, who has told her that if she really wants to make him notice her, then she's going to have to step up her game. And so she goes for it. She studies. She becomes incredible. She meets some awesome people. And then, oh, can I give this? Is a spoiler at the ending? I don't want to give it away.
Spoiler.
I mean, who hasn't seen this movie/musical? So she studies, and then she comes to this place where she realizes that she actually doesn't need Warner anymore, that she is happy being recognized for her brain, and she's really enjoying the challenge.
And she's so much better.
She is sexually harassed by her professor and decides to quit for a while, but of course friendship saves the day.
I'm sorry, that's the end. There is no more plot in Legally Blonde.
Wow. Because I wasn't as prepared. I needed my script like I do for my debates.
No, so yeah, so that's the thing. Like there is basically the whole plot resides around people not taking Elle seriously.
Correct.
Because she doesn't fit into their idea of what a serious person is.
Yes.
Mm. Yeah. And that is code for female.
Well, yes.
Yeah, the right code. Kind
not,
of yes.
not for the right type. Yeah. Because there's that big juxtaposition between her and Vivian, who's yeah. Vivian being the right female and her being the wrong one yeah. for this world. That
because
Warner
Vivian
wants.
Has a brown bob and she wears black.
And very serious
She's
clothing.
Very serious.
But it's also like Vivian buys into the patriarchal archetype of a serious
yes.
president's wife.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
The Hillary Rodham of the future.
So most of the second act actually revolves around this particular case with Brooke Wyndham.
Yes.
And I think this is the way particularly professional productions have dealt with this character I've found really interesting, because she doesn't turn up until the second act.
Mm.
But she has to do her one big number, singing, belting, while skipping for many minutes. Yep. And that takes some gumption.
It's gold.
That takes,
to be honest. Yeah.
Some training. That so you got to have someone who's super fit and show fit and amazing to pick up this role.
But more than show fit. Like, my sister's not really a musical person. She doesn't typically like musicals. In fact, I remember her saying, do you remember Anchorman 2, like all those years ago, how it had that one song that went for like 60 seconds? She was like, it felt like it went on forever. And I'm like, and
so
that was like less
that?
Than a minute. So she's not a musical person, but she came and saw Legally Blonde because I was in it.
Were you in it, Stacey?
This is the first one.
Which
yes.
role did you play?
Yes. Well, this was the first time when I was Whitney. Which was a very, very fun role. She came out and she was like, that whipped into shape, that song. She's like, that's amazing. She's like, I would come back and see it again just for that number with the skipping. She was just, her mind was blown by that, because she's a very, like, really athletic kind of person, and it just blew her mind that somebody
amazing.
Could do that, which is, it is crazy. Like, it's a crazy number.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
So you have to have this amazing performer who can really hold the stage too, because if you know
and you've
that
never met them before this in the show.
just rock up in the second act.
Opening number.
Yeah. Whip it into shape.
In a memento, let me skip and sing.
Yeah.
Just
nuts. So they've often cast pretty amazing names in that role. But that's a pretty sweet gig.
Yeah.
You know, it's starting to like too.
I mean, it's a pretty sweet gig if you really love skipping and singing on stage in front of everyone. Like,
speaking of Julie Andrews, let's talk about it.
I do hear she skips and sings on the regular.
As per the film, Brooke's case is going badly.
Yeah.
Until
L.
I'm like, blah, 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 blah.
I'm until sorry, Brooke's L. here. L's forgotten about.
Until L saves the day by realizing that they're both Delta News and bonding with their sorority gal connections. I think that even that situation is dealt with so much better in the musical. You get to see more of that happen and a lot more of Brooke's character.
Yeah.
So when it comes to the end and Brooke stands up and fires the, it actually means a lot more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think there are a lot of examples in that of that in this show.
Yeah,
definitely. Also, the whole court scene is the best.
Oh, so good.
It's funny.
There Right
as...
There is a great song.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the Is He Gay or European number.
I often ask myself that, like, I would say weekly.
Is that gay? Are you?
You hang out with a lot of European guys?
Yeah. Yeah. We know this to be fact, Zane.
Can we talk briefly about unnecessary Irish dancing, though?
Yeah.
Is it unnecessary, though?
How does everyone feel about
it? It is weird.
But there's a whole song called Ireland.
Also don't really understand why that became a thing.
Is it just to make that connection? Like,
I feel like it's to give that character a song.
A song.
Yeah.
But why go with that? I don't know.
In the Broadway in America, because I was reading an article about when they changed the lyrics for the London version.
Yes, they are randomly slightly different.
Yes, and they picked, because they wanted her to have this big dream and something really far away from where she was in America. And Ireland's pretty, like, far away from America, but also have, like, a really basic, no knowledge. I have no knowledge. Yes. This is a fantasy, you know, in the original version when she talks about, oh, no, that's the poster for Sweden.
Sweden.
So she's oh, they're interchangeable. They're interchangeable countries. So it was about this whole, like, fantasy, but she doesn't quite get it, but she gets, like, she knows leprechauns. And then that's why they change it for the London version, because they're like, well, in England, like, they're not going to have quite the same ideas about Ireland. So we're like, oh, we'll put a family connection there. We'll make it like this story's been passed down and as she was a child, and now that's it, you know.
You know, I had never put together why that would be necessary. Thank you for sharing that.
You're
I've
welcome.
Learned something today.
You're welcome.
Wow.
Musicals really do teach things.
And the things that I miss, Stacey teaches me. So
but that's why they have Irish dancing, because of that song.
Yeah, but they picked the dream. But then that moment where they pick for it to come back. So we're right at the end of the show. Elle is in
Legally
the middle of
remix.
A triumphant parade through the streets, heading back to the court where she's about to, you know, save the day and win the case. And happy ending for everybody. Let's stop here for a moment and do an Irish dance with the entire
cast. That's one of my favourite parts of the whole show.
It's just completely inexplicable
to
me.
That's why.
Could it be to give the main cast a rest?
They're Irish
dancing. No, but then they also Irish dancing.
I don't call Irish dancing a rest, just for the record.
I think it's
to be totally honest,
yeah.
I've never seen a live version of this show.
You're dead to me.
Oh.
I did this show. Where were you?
We both did. We
somewhere
were
else. And I in the show.
Everyone I know has been in this show at
How
some point.
How have you not seen
Danica
it then?
Danica has been in this
You're
show.
You're a terrible friend.
Literally every person I know has been in this show.
Julie has.
Yeah.
You ushered for it.
You ushered.
You were very involved in the...
Anyway.
You were there at the time when the show was happening.
Yeah. It's a great show and you should see it. Especially if your friends are in it. Zane.
See Weber.
Anyway.
Amazing. Shall we move on to lessons we've learned, or do we have a bad review with Julie?
Oh.
I hope it's not the review of the production we were in.
I mean, true Hugo, it is a terrible, terrible
Hugo
thing.
Hugo is now going to sing the segment song for Bad Reviews with Julie.
We do have a slightly bad review, if I'm honest. So, this is a review. It's a 3-star review, Legally Blonde the Musical, from the Savoy Theatre in London.
I thought you were about to say Savoy Yard, same. Which is the one Stacey and I.
No, this is from Michael Billington, January 14th, 2010. Fluff, fluff, blah, 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 blah.
Well worded.
Yes.
It is.
Articulate.
Although the score by Lawrence O'Keefe and Nell Benjamin improves as it goes along, it begins with a screeching evocation of sorority life that made me think back wistfully to the seductive choric opening of 60s shows like Bye Bye Birdie. I'd like to remind you that this is written by an old white man.
Really?
Okay.
There was nothing that gave that away.
Heather Haxburg is also patronizingly assumes that Harvard professors are gullible jerks and its students are militant snobs.
And well, that's a throwback to the film, really.
Can we... Wait, is he comparing this negatively to Bye Bye Birdie?
I have no... He's wistfully
the opening
thinking...
Number.
man, it'd be nice to have a Corrick opening number again, wouldn't it? You know?
I sure wish every musical had the same kind of opening number.
And the story's fashion fetish is pushed to ridiculous lengths. There's a bizarre moment when Elle's one post-grad friend is given a makeover in which his perfectly decent cords are swapped for a trendy, loose-fitting suit that makes him look like a skeleton in someone's closet. That's unintentionally absurd, but where the musical succeeds, it's heightened stories comedy.
I'm sorry, he thought cords were acceptable attire for a courtroom.
This is a classic example of a show's intention and messages going straight over someone's head.
And in fact, that song's very specific. The song in which that change happens. It's very specific about the message of that change. In which, you know, he miraculously changes and he comes out and he says, wow, I look just like Warner, the ex.
Yeah.
And Elle says, yeah, you do. But nothing about your inside has changed. Now you're dressing for the job you want.
Yeah.
You know, and this is the amazing thing. Yeah. You can have all of this confidence by going out into the world in your best, you know, frame.
Presentation.
Dress for success.
For success. And it doesn't change who you are inside.
Yeah.
And that's a huge message of the show, both from the perspective of Elle, from the perspective of, I was going to say Warner, but it's not him,
Elliot.
It's Emmett. And also the hairdresser.
Paulette.
And Vivian. Mm. They all learn that in a different way.
Mm.
And I think that is an excellent segue to our next segment, The Lessons We've Learned. Okay, so Legally Blonde has taught us a lot of messages, both intentionally and unintentionally. What lessons has it taught all of you?
I learned that if you're like super determined and you really want to stalk a guy, you probably can pass a very hard exam to get there.
If you just have one really smart girl wearing glasses to help you out.
Yeah.
And you can resist the urge to follow a guy to a party just because he's reggae singing at you.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Chime in here? Because I think we can all appreciate that Elle Woods is in fact a genius.
She's a massive nerd.
She is extremely intelligent. Yeah. The whole thing is that she chooses to focus her energy
on fashion.
And so she knows a lot of really finite detail about fashion. And you see that right from the beginning where she totally smacks down the woman who tries to sell her the dodgy, you know, past season dress. And then she says, oh, but you can't do that on that kind of fabric because it'll pucker. Like, she knows amazing amounts of detail. The brain power's there.
And
right,
so that's why I think, like, Elle Woods isn't an anybody success story. Elle Woods is a genius who needs to figure out that she can succeed at whatever she wants and that the world is bigger than her own preconceived notion.
She would have been a much better intern for Miranda Priestley. Just saying.
The quoted lesson that Elle Woods taught everyone in the show is being true to yourself never goes out of style. Snaps.
Which is interesting because she was true to herself, but herself changed as well. So yes, it is like be true to yourself, but it's also kind of like it's okay to change and it's okay to evolve and it's okay to find something new. And that still can be, you can still be you even though you like something different or you wear something different.
Yeah. Well, I think that's as long as you're not pretending you're not going to go out of style.
Yeah.
Because she does change and she learns and she does and she develops. Her character arc is a very strong one. It just so happens that she is good at everything that she tries.
Lucky her.
any other lessons? Like, I'm looking at the ladies because, like, I am the unfortunate Y chromosomed at the table.
You're allowed to comment though. I'm not.
No. I just want you to have your messages first before I jump in with all my feminist learnings.
Right. I mean, you know me and feminist learnings.
I think too the power of like friendships. This
definitely sisterhood. The whole
there's so many strong female friendships in this, and I kept thinking of more examples as I was thinking about this earlier today. And how like friends can really change your life too.
Mm.
You know, having the right person at the right time give you the right push. Like Paulette, you know, who was like, "Nah, I can't get a man. I'm not worth anything." In that right push, so I think having good people in your life can change your life.
I'd completely forgotten until this moment about the scene where Elle and Emmett take her to
get her, dogs
from the trash man who had stolen her dog. But yeah, that was a moment where Elle and Emmett said, "No, we're not going to do this for you. You're going to do it yourself because you're a strong, powerful woman and you don't need no man."
Yeah, I think
I did a very classy click move just then that nobody heard.
I think playing on the like the power of friendship, I think it's also about choosing the right people to listen to, because Elle does choose Emmett to listen to when she's doubting herself and chooses the right person to kind of empower her. Because she's at a place where she doesn't actually know what she wants and what she should be doing. And so, it's the power of the people that you pick to guide you.
And I think, too, it's that whole someone else's success is not your failure.
Mm-hmm.
And often in media, like, women are paired against each other. And it's like, well, if I'm a successful woman, then I have to be jealous and horrible to every other successful woman because they're they could take away from me. Yeah. Whereas, like, Vivian's journey, too, at the end where she's like, "I accept you and...
No, you rock, girl.
And you're awesome and let's celebrate you as well."
That's the thing. That's Vivian's story. Vivian's story is this competition with another woman, and then her arc is like, no, we can both succeed.
Yeah, and the whole fact that's in there and that's written in there that it's okay to celebrate the success of others. It's not going to take away from your success. I think that's a really cool lesson too. There's so many.
I think there also... are so
many. I also did not realise that the department stores pumped extra oxygen into the air to make you feel good and happy and lightheaded and buy more.
Yeah.
I learned that from this show.
Okay.
I'm on to you, Kmart.
Casinos as well.
Kmart doing it right.
Casinos as well, I believe.
Casinos.
Oh, I mean, I knew there was no clocks in shopping centres or casinos for that reason.
That's why everything's very bright and airy, just kind of like, this is a place where you're not going to feel crowded in or claustrophobic. Mm. You just wander around.
And you don't know what time it is, so it could be 2 a.m., but it's bright and cheery and
Another quoted lesson, this is a tragedy and every tragedy needs a Greek chorus, and therefore that's why there's one in this show. I love the way they use the Delta New Girls as the Greek chorus in this, because obviously in the movie they're at the beginning and then they appear at the end and go, "Hey Elle, we're here to support you." But in this show they use them as the Greek chorus, supporting her, talking to her, doing a lot of fantastic dance numbers with her throughout the whole show. And it adds another element to seeing how Elle had previously interacted with the world and watching that evolve with those girls as well. And of course, then when they do come in at the very end and they teach the bend and snap.
Yes.
And I think that is truly what we have all learned from this.
Snap.
The bend and
the works
power.
Every time.
Can I ask, has anyone at the table used the bend and snap
in
technique?
In real life?
Yeah.
No.
So you haven't really learned that lesson then, have you?
I've learned how to do it. I've never tried to use it.
Well, I think we have some homework.
I feel like if you did it in very close contact, it might work.
Well, that's actually what went wrong in the show. The close contact resulted in her elbowing her bow in the face.
But did that or did that
go
not
right?
Work?
I guess it did work. Yes. Yeah. Sometimes when things go wrong, they really go right. That's the lesson I learned from that.
I think definitely if we focus on it as a feminist text, I think this is one of the better ones, simply because it deals with both the male and female problems with feminism and the patriarchy, and not all men are bad and not all women are bad or all women are good. There's definitely good and bad on both sides, and how they interact is dealt with very neatly in the story.
Yeah.
because particularly with the difference between Warner and Emmett, I think is very interesting.
And somehow walking that fine line so perfectly of making it funny but not offensive. Stomping on that message or being offensive about that situation. And possibly even, again, I would say walking that fine line better than the movie does. Because there are moments in that movie where you're going, oh, come on.
Well, honestly,
just don't feel those grown moments in the show.
I don't think the movie anticipated it becoming as big as it was.
No.
Whereas I think the musical was very aware of what Legally Blonde property was and what it had the potential to be. And they kind of latched onto what they liked about it and accentuated that and kind of, left the parts that were awkward from the movie behind.
Yeah. And it also features, I mean, Emmett and Elle definitely start as friends in the show. Yeah. And that whole, like, we're just going to help each other and there's no sexual transition here.
Yeah.
Like, he wasn't out for that. He was out to just help her because she was very obvious in her, I'm pursuing him.
Yes.
He's my interest. And he was like, well, I think you can be better than what you see. So I think that was really important as well, to see that male-female friendship journey.
And I do like, too, that she gets to the end and has her big triumph and happy ending without getting the guy.
Yeah.
Mm.
It doesn't happen until, like, the end of the epilogue where she's like, oh, P.S., will you marry me? And he's like, oh, my God. And it actually makes it a joke.
What was it like? Yeah.
He literally says, oh, my God.
I just needed to hear what you said before, though.
And he was like, oh, my God.
There we go.
Yeah. Anyway, which treats it like a little bit of a, like, and here's the joke tag on the end, which is really the only way
and
you
can treat
that. And then
her proposing to him also,
that's great. Do we have any more lessons? I just want to share one more. This is actually a meme that does the rounds regularly, and every time I see it, I'm like, share, like, heart emoji. Try to live every day like Elle Woods after Warner told her that she wasn't smart enough for law school.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So good.
I mean, yes. Yes, I will agree that
that's
a great goal.
And but play the music. Also,
self-care is important. And if Elle Woods can't exist in real life without breaking down at the end of a year, I think that she puts a lot of work, like 100% into everything she does, and that's why she succeeds. You need to calm down a little bit every now and then. Have some fun as well.
Okay. Live 360 days of the year.
Yeah, 5 days
like
is enough.
Like Elle Woods after Warner told her she wasn't smart enough for law school.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's move on to Dreamcast. So there are some big roles.
There's some great roles in here for Zac Efron.
Warner?
No, Kyle.
Kyle.
I would
Kyle for Zac in this. I would be on board with that.
It makes sense.
I think he would have a lot of fun with it. Kyle. Kyle's a really... It's not a huge role, but it's very fun.
It's fun.
And he would also traditionally doubles with Dewey as well. So he also gets that, like, really slobby, great, disgusting...
But, like... Yeah.
Bit.
Swan on, be everyone's favorite.
Yeah.
Swan off. Yeah. Is that not the best roles?
So great.
You do have the Irish dancing.
Irish dancing.
I don't know whether that's a positive or a
but again, it's just, it's such a good gag. It's just, I love it. Okay. Also, I think we were saying a break before, because when I was, because like I said, I did the show twice. When I was Elle, I was really thankful for that little moment where I could stop running around in high heels during that remix and just watch some Irish dancing. That was great.
Were you off stage? Yeah, I was going to say, I remember you doing the Irish dancing.
No, I did, but it was just a little minute where
you were off
most of it. I could just enjoy,
just a red hot,
like, watch
it
for a second. And then, no, I was on stage. Elle was on stage for 97% of the show.
Right.
And when you're off stage, you're changing and going straight back out. It's actually insane, which is
Eliza Doolittle, they're the two roles that are like that. They're just
Eliza get stage, more of a break, though, than Elle, I found.
Eliza
but
gets
it is very
a couple
similar.
Of man chats where she can not be involved.
But sorry, can I just tell an aside here about the junior version? Just on that whole how you're on stage all the time. So when you see the junior version of this, they take out, obviously, lots of scenes to make it shorter. But all the scenes that they take out are the scenes where Elle gets dressed, generally speaking, because a lot of them are, like, adult referencey. So, like, so the scene, like, and there, you don't have a lot of time for those changes. And unbelievably, it's even shorter in the junior version. And I remember watching it, and a friend of mine was playing Elle in this version. I'm like, how? And they very much simplified the costumes, which made it easier. But it was crazy. Other fun thing about the junior production, the sperm scene. You know, the whole, like, that case that she's discussing in class that goes, oh, she's actually getting this.
Yes.
You can't talk about sperm in a junior production.
Oh, how dare you?
So instead, and I was crying, I was laughing so hard when I first saw this, they replaced it with the scene about copyright infringement contracts. So it was like someone hired people to do like pirate parties, but then the people turned up and didn't do a pirate party. They did like some other type of, like, not pirates, like some other thing.
Dinosaur party.
Yeah, something like that. Oh, man, I just... The number of times pirate party was said in that one scene, and I was just losing it. It was absolutely amazing.
Is that because in
amazing.
Your head you're replacing that word with sperm?
No, it was just... It's like just something just so hilarious about
semen.
Them arguing about this.
I get it!
I just got that. I'm so dumb, guys.
Miranda is literally tickled pink with
hormones.
That joke.
You can't do this with the baby hormones. I'm so dumb.
I love it.
All right.
It.
Anyway,
okay.
It's funny.
We're casting.
Casting.
Okay. Elle Woods.
I'm going to do a KB and say I would have loved to see Reese Witherspoon do the musical.
Can Reese
Witherspoon? I don't care.
Really? Okay.
I don't think she can
That's
sing.
Fine.
I just want the original Elle in the better telling of the story. Thanks.
Okay. That's totally fair. I don't think that my pick for Elle Woods would ever do it because it's totally against her type, even though, like,
this is going to be
physically
a weird Audra McDonald casting.
No, Megan Hilty.
I
think she would be a very, like, such a bombastic Elle Woods. I think she's aged out of it now.
Yeah, I do have to agree with that point. But in Dreamcast.
Yeah, Dreamcast.
When she was younger.
My dream Elle would be Susie Mathers. Did you guys see, so in the latest Australian tour, she was Glinda, and no joke, the best.
She was my Glinda, and I was
I've
over
ever
the moon
seen.
That I got to see her.
She is absolutely
so
phenomenal, and I think she went to play it in West End.
She's got the cutest face.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's
she
so
is
good.
Stunning, but she's also one of the most talented people I've ever seen. And I think she would be phenomenal, as she might be a little bit old too for now, but given Elle is like 20.
She's always
20,
played by.
She's 21.
I mean, how old was Reese Witherspoon when she did the movie?
She would have been close to 30.
Yeah.
So she is, you know, generally, yes.
How old was Reese Witherspoon when she did the sequel?
Oh, let's not talk about the sequel.
Do you think they'll make a musical of the sequel?
No.
But it could be so patriotic.
Oh, it could also just be awful.
Or it might be better.
I don't think there's enough crossover in that kind of patriotism and the theatre community for there to be a lot of demand for that particular musical.
I don't know. I think politics get a bad rap in musicals, and I think this could be the turnaround.
Okay. Ignoring that.
Yep.
Dreamcast. Now imagine a 21-year-old Elaine Stritch. I would like her to play Elle Woods.
Oh yeah, I could see that.
Okay.
A bit more caustic.
It's brash.
A bit brattier. But I think like Elaine Stritch would be an amazing feminist icon as Elle Woods.
I want to find the Brooke Wyndhams of the world. There's not many.
Oh,
maybe
such a big task.
I tell you what we'll do. We'll have like a TV show where we go on a worldwide search.
And then,
but
like,
not for Elle Woods. For Brooke Wyndham.
10 years later.
And it'll just be...
You can watch it on...
Skipping
YouTube.
And skipping
The lady
and
who
skipping.
Played it here in Australia, Erica something.
She's fantastic.
She was great.
Yeah.
And she was a model, I think. Mm-hmm. And then they just like stunt casted her. And I was not mad. I was like, I'm not mad about this at all. She was good.
Erica Haynatz was...
Yeah.
To be honest, I would watch that Star Search. Because watching the Elle Woods one, search for Elle Woods... I am so much better. Over and over and over and over and over. I would say for one entire episode I heard that song, I'd much rather see Whipped Into Shape.
Yeah.
You know? More
How about Warner and Emmett?
Warner Huntington III should be played by... I don't know.
Do we have a fun Emmett pick? Because I think Ben Platt would be a fun
I was just thinking that, but I don't... Yeah. I also like don't next think generation. That.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
We don't... Do you have a stronger pick? Like,
I don't have a stronger pick. I was also thinking Ben Platt, but I don't know why I want that.
I think most of the Dear Evan Hansen performers...
You could copy and paste.
...could possibly move over to an Emmett.
Yeah.
What about a Beanie Feldstein for...
Paulette?
No. Is it Vivian?
Vivian.
Yeah.
Vivian.
Yeah.
Does Vivian have a lot of funny though?
She doesn't have to be funny.
No.
But Beanie is. That's
she is.
That's my point. Like Beanie is known to be a very
comedic actor. But I don't
see
her as a Paulette yet either.
No, absolutely not. Very young for Paulette.
Sorry, I just have gone down a bit of a rabbit hole, realizing that Legally Blonde was totally robbed at the Tony Awards.
Yes,
and won nothing.
It was I think
it was nominated for a billion things and won nothing.
Yeah,
what a proud day!
And I'm like, what did what beat it? Spring Awakening beat it for choreography.
Weird. Okay.
Anyway, sorry, we're not talking about this now.
No, we are not. Shall we move on?
What about Groff?
Stop. Just in anything is
just
fine.
Just on Spring Awakening as Warner?
Speaking, I mean, Groff is a contemporary for Megan Hilty. Like
that would work. Yeah.
That's aging out.
Dreamcast.
Mature student.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. Like we need to make concessions for that.
Maybe he could be a young Callahan.
Oh, Callahan.
Oh, that would be so heartbreaking when he becomes the bad guy.
Actually,
I think I was going to
bring out before is that in the movie, you don't see evil Callahan until he turns into evil Callahan.
Mm.
But in this, his first song, Blood in the Water, he says, I am an evil beep beep and I am going to be the bad guy in this story.
Yeah.
And I actually really appreciated being able to enjoy that from the beginning.
Yes. But it's kind of like lean in. If you want to be a successful lawyer, you're going to have to be fine with this moral ambiguity.
Ambiguitiousness.
Ambiguitiousness.
That's where the money is. And then it's interesting, again, worked really well for the story where Elle went the opposite and went, no, I'm going to be,
she doesn't need the money.
I'm
going to
have my integrity. Yeah. Of course she doesn't. But
how about a nice Birkin
bag? Again, a nice difference in that, lawyers only have to go this way. And she's like, well, do you though?
Shall we move on to top five lists?
Yeah.
Yes.
If Legally Blonde were to appear on top five lists, what top five lists would Legally Blonde appear on?
Top five movie to stage adaptation.
For sure.
It is my number one.
Track that list and where we've gotten with.
Heathers.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
we've done it a lot.
Shrek.
Heather.
Oh. Shrek but would
I think Little Shop of Horrors.
Legally Blonde would probably
this
be
This one
shot.
Just ticks every single
no, Little Shop.
Box.
Yeah.
For me.
Little Shop was a movie before it
was. It was that black and white.
But I always forget about that.
Yeah.
It wasn't a movie musical, but neither was Legally Blonde or Heathers.
Yes. I don't forget about that.
I would say top five musicals that were nominated for 7 Tony Awards and won none of them.
Okay, fill out
none
the list.
Of them. I'm still just staring at this going, what?
Yeah.
Seven is a lot.
The same thing happened at the drama desks.
Because you have actor, actress, and actress in a featured role, then book, score, choreography, and design.
Oh boy.
That's a lot of Tonys to get nothing. And they're not...
Nothing.
And you've got both the big ones and the technical ones.
Mm.
Yeah.
It's because Spring Awakening just did a big sweep that year. But, man.
Top five.
To be Laura Bell Bundy in that year.
Yeah. Yeah.
Top five feminist musicals?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think this is a very a great modern feminist text.
Mm.
I
love that it's feminist without trashing being feminine.
Yeah.
Mm.
And
I think that's what makes it a great feminist text.
Yeah.
I think that's why women love it.
Yeah.
And I think on that, I'd say top five female friendships because there's so many Like, and they're all very quality, and you don't really get to track female friendship stories in musicals a great deal.
Yeah.
Like, you get your like your Heathers and your Mean Girls of it.
But they've
you
all know, come that, since this.
Yes. But I mean, that you get that whole, like, warring, but you don't really get the story of, I guess, Carousel a little bit. But, yeah, you don't... I don't
Chicago.
would we call that female friendship? No,
I'm
talking Velma and Mama Morton.
yeah, all right. Again, more extortion than yeah. friendship.
Now, this is a big one. I would say top five happy ending musicals.
Oh, okay.
Because everyone gets a version of a happy ending. And no one's life is literally destroyed.
Callahan.
Is his life destroyed? Do you think that he's never going to work again?
He got divorced and he didn't get to be governor.
Yeah.
But I mean,
he certainly was powerful enough to be able to run in the first place.
Yeah.
So he obviously didn't lose too much money because it's expensive. So,
yeah. Like, that's the thing. Like, he's just going to keep being a lawyer.
One could argue he deserves it.
Yeah. That's well, that's the thing. Like, the bad guy's plans failed, but no one died. No one's life was destroyed. No one. Yeah. It's not like Heather's.
Everyone dies.
Oh, the little cast is dead.
Yeah.
Everyone dies. Les Mis. Everyone dies.
Like, there are other happy ending musicals. But I think
it is unusual to have a happy ending musical that doesn't end in a wedding.
Yeah.
Yes. And I was going to say it's a happy ending musical that's not just about a love. Oh, the lovers made it in the end and they're together. It's happy because she accomplished a goal.
Yeah.
And other people like Paulette accomplished a goal and yeah. So it's more about just like a love journey, which is fine. Love journeys are fine too.
Can I put Whipped into Shape on a top five stunt routines?
Oh,
so
yeah. Even the top five hardest numbers to perform.
There
That's
are a
insane.
Few more of them now, but there's a...
What else is on that list?
Well,
just to kind of clarify what a stunt routine is.
There's one in, isn't it Seven Brides and Seven Brothers, where they do a whole thing on a seesaw?
Yeah.
What about...
There's a tap one where they're skipping and tapping
in Holiday Inn.
Holiday Inn.
What about Singing in the Rain?
I was going to say Make Him Laugh.
Make Him Laugh, he flips off the wall.
Yeah, flipping off the wall and make
Mary
him
Poppins.
Or even like Singing with the Rain. Mm. The rain is the stunt thing with the routine.
Mary Poppins, he taps upside down.
Taps upside down in Mary Poppins. That's a good one. That's going in the top five.
Yeah. I think also Whipped into the Shape is like my top five musical theatre workout jams, you know?
Yeah.
If there's anything that will get you motivated.
Honestly, there's a lot of music on this cast recording
it's
that could go on a
great
workout.
Great soundtrack.
Yeah.
Oh, even the
pace is perfect.
Mm. The marching band. What is the marching band song?
What You Want.
Yes. Oh. Actually, What You Want is huge.
It's a marathon, that song. It's 8 or 9 minutes.
Half of the film happens in What You Want.
It's nuts.
Do you think either Paulette or Vivian make it onto best supporting... Brooke, not Vivian, make it onto best supporting roles?
I think Paulette might.
I don't know, because they're actually... And this is what's unusual about the structure of this show, and it's probably something that is a flow-on from the film, is that it has one main character who has a lot of support characters, and then the ensemble has a lot of minor roles.
It's a really good ensemble
It comes
show.
Across as quite an ensemble cast, but that one lead is like,
whoa,
that's... She's really dragging that show through.
Are we putting it on top five biggest roles for a lead? Biggest workouts for
female
a lead.
I would definitely put it on that list. I used to jump in rehearsals while we were like when we were doing the songs. I would be jumping on the spot during it because it was so intensive.
Trying to get the performance stamina to be able to just
because What You Want again is a marathon, and he's running all over the stage, and you've got set changes, and then you have this big dance number in the middle of it, and then they're like sing this
many,
like
how many costume changes are in What You Want from the beginning to
the end? I
think
at least
three. I think it's three for L. Costume changes within the song.
And
then you do the marching band. You get through that marathon and you get to the marching band bit where she really goes off.
Yeah.
And then the whole cast stops and listens to her sing long sustained beautiful notes.
How about That was like, the hardest bit by far to sing.
Who wrote
By
that?
By far.
Well, yeah. Lawrence O'Keefe wrote that. Thanks, dude.
Well, no. See, Lawrence O'Keefe wrote that. I don't think Lawrence O'Keefe was involved in choreographing that.
True, true.
There is a big dance break just before it. It's implied.
Yeah. There's a conga line.
Yeah,
for...
it's a crazy role. Yeah.
It's a while. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, any other top fives?
I'm good.
I mean, there's that. Those are some big top fives that we've put it on.
Top five shows that require pink fabric.
Top five pinkest shows. This Mean Girls.
Pinkest shows.
Don't look at me. I didn't do it.
Yeah, probably Legally Blonde and Mean Girls. Strawberry Shortcake the Musical. No.
The one set in a department store.
Oh, She Loves Me.
She loves. See, I thought that was that, but then I was like, that's just like, the song.
That's just the cover of the. The cover art is very pink, but not the actual design.
See, show in the show itself, I thought the department store was pink.
No.
Huh. Maybe just
it's
the set
that I
saw.
Beautiful and amazing, it's not pink.
All right. Well, that's it. That's it for Legally Blonde.
That's it.
Thank you very much for joining us,
Stacey. I loved that.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks, Stacey.
Oh, you're welcome. It's just
By
such
the way,
a good
show. You were great as Elle Woods.
Oh, my goodness.
Thank you. I'd love to do her again and play her like way...
older? Oh, sorry.
Oh, yeah, that too. That too. But I think like nerdy. I think next time if I ever get another go, I'm going to really lean into the nerdiness.
Yeah.
Because I think, honestly, she's such a nerd. And the only reason like people miss that is because she's pretty and she dresses well. And people miss, like you said, she knows
she's
these little inane
nerd.
Fashion things.
Yeah.
And like in any give it any other topic and people would be like, oh yeah, righto.
Little Miss Woods, common nerd.
Yeah, but thank you.
I like it.
It's a very, very fun show. And I did it twice. Because I know I'd totally do it again in any role. Such a good show.
I recommend it for ensemble, actually. The vocal
such
parts
a
are fun.
Yeah. Last time I saw it, the most recent time, I sat next to the musical director for the first time I did it, the first Brisbane show, and we sang the entire show, the two of us, very quietly.
I was going
to
say, so that
wouldn't
be
disturb
great
anyone
for
else.
People around
but
here.
I'm like, I could probably sing this entire show from start to finish, word to word, word to word. But it's very, very
well,
fun.
Well, there you go, musical directors out there. If you need someone who can just jump in,
any part,
you show fit.
I'll be Warner.
Ready.
I don't care. Actually, Kyle. Kyle.
All right. Well, thank you very much. Is there anything you'd like to plug? I know that it's COVID and you've just had a baby.
Well, yes, Disney versus Disney, of course. You can hear me lament on that. Disney Grown Up when I get around to uploading episodes. Also on
we
that
should
as well.
Cross over and do what haven't we done? Plenty of Disney shows.
Lots of Disney
Lion,
shows.
So did Lion?
Nope.
Aladdin?
Oh.
Done Aladdin.
Beauty and the Beast.
Get Georgie in here.
We've done Beauty and the Beast.
Crossover time.
Let's do it.
Crossover time.
I love being here. Always happy to come back.
Well, if you want to find out more about us, you can find us on Facebook, on Twitter, or on Instagram. You can send us an email like our lovely listener at the start of this episode. If we said anything wrong, let us know. We want to learn what we got wrong. You can do that at musicalstaughtmepodcast@gmail.com. You can find us on Patreon at patreon.com/musicalstaughtmeeverythingiknow. And give us a rating and review on iTunes. That really helps push us up the rankings and get more people's eyes on our podcast. So that is free. That is easy. Just scroll down, hit 5 stars, and leave a review. You can say whatever you want. A compliment would be nice, but you can say whatever you want. And we will accept it. Thank you very much, Julie.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Miranda.
It's my pleasure, and I love the show. Okay, thanks, bye.
Thank you once again, Stacey.
Thanks for having me.
I've been Zane C. Weber, and join us again next week for more musical teaching.
Bye.
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 History is a fascinating field that is unfortunately massive on a scale that beggars comprehension and is not always easily accessible, especially when we're talking about the complex issues of human rights abuses and government oppression that surround genocides. Here at Genestory, we agreed to do this. We aim to change that. Join me on the 15th of every month as we take a comprehensive overview of the field of genocide studies, the various genocides throughout history, and the representation of genocide in fictional media. Together, we're going to help ensure that never again is more than just a slogan. You can find Genestory wherever you find podcasts.
That's Not Kind of Productions podcast. Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.